Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Friday, April 16th, 2021 edition of the program. Going to talk some baseball in just a moment. Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs will join me. We are broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. The doctors, Ophthalmology Associates, Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer want to help you with your eyes. They want to make sure that your vision is where it should be. Ophthalmology Associates are called the doctors, because more doctors trust them with their eyes than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust the doctors? With your eyes. Go to their website right now and you can start to see what they're all about at youreyedoc.com. You can also give them a call at 314-966-5000. I want you to call them and set up an appointment. Tell them, tell the doctors that Chris Raby sent you, that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Whether you're setting up an annual eye exam that insurance should cover, whether you have questions about LASIK, if you're dealing with allergy issues, the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates can help you and help your vision. So set up your appointment now. What are you waiting for? Call 314-966-5000 or visit youreyedoc.com and tell them you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. 314-966-5000 or youreyedoc.com. All right, always great to have Jay Jaffe join us on the program. Of course, you can read him at Fangraphs. Jay, what's going on, man? Happy, I guess, relatively uneventful 2 weeks of baseball concerning stoppages that we were dealing with last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did have the Nationals outage and the postponement there. We've got looks like a minor outbreak or some kind of outbreak here on the Astros. So I don't think we've gotten off scot-free, but you know, I'm encouraged by how many teams have already reached the 85% vaccination threshold and can have their restrictions loosened. And I think, you know, despite the two outbreaks of note so far, we're going to be seeing less of this stuff as the season goes on, because, you know, people are going to be protected.
Yeah, Jay, from that perspective, what have your impressions been? What have you noticed about the way baseball has been able to navigate that and get through spring training? And obviously, you know, you can't speak for every team, and different teams are doing it differently. But the way the teams have been able to get to that threshold and how that will continue to help baseball move along.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, I did not go to spring training, so I have not seen any of this up close. My first ball game of the year will be 2 weeks from today, and that'll be in a recreational capacity. So, you know, this is mostly from secondhand observation here. The testing numbers from the spring, both on intake and during spring training, were impressive. I mean, I think, you know, for the most part, baseball players and their teams have this routine down. You know, we do see the occasional outbreak, and you know, fortunately, they've been fairly minimal, and we haven't heard of you know, serious illnesses along the lines of what Eduardo Rodriguez went through last year with the myocarditis. You know, I hope that's true. You know, we're not necessarily getting all of the information that we could be getting there, but again, I'm encouraged by the numbers. I'm a little nervous about the way things proceeded in Texas with the full 100, you know, full capacity, you know, state in the stadiums. But I think most teams, based on the local regulations, have been much more conservative about how many people they've let into the park. You know, I can't speak to the enforcement of the mask rules or anything like that, but. You know, in terms of firsthand experience, but for the most part, it seems like, you know, there's very the kind of variance you would expect. The thing about the vaccinations, they first said teams have to get to 85% compliance among their tier one individuals, which is players and anybody else who might have access to the dugouts, managers, coaches, trainers, and so forth. And I was doing some math, talking to a few people who are fellow writers inside the game. And I was, you know, given the polarization that we've seen throughout the country on vaccinations and mask wearing and things like that, I said that I would be surprised if any team got to 85%. But it turns out some of these teams are highly motivated to do so. And it has to be because of all the restrictions they face while traveling. And you know, so for, I think it's four teams at last count had reached it. Maybe, you know, they're still within the 2-week waiting period of waiting for the vaccinations to fully take hold. But I was surprised how quickly that happened. And I expect we'll see more teams do that. I think that's good. I don't like it when teams are, mealy-mouthed about, you know, personal decisions or whatever. I like it when guys are stepping up and saying, hey, I'm vaccinated and you should be vaccinated too. And we've seen some stars like Max Scherzer and Buster Posey and Francisco Lindor step up and say that.
All right, I keep telling you that you need to set up your annual eye exam with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. You need to have your eyes checked out by the best. And that's where Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer come in. The doctors at Ophthalmology Associates are available at youreyedoc.com and by calling 314-966-5000. I need you to schedule an appointment and tell them that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You need to trust the best when it comes to your eyes. Your eyes deserve the best, and your eyes deserve the doctors. Doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Go to the website right now and learn a little bit more about what they can do. If you have questions about LASIK, we all hear things about LASIK, but you deserve to hear the truth. Your eyes are unique to you, and there might be unique circumstances when it comes to what you can or can't do with LASIK. So ask the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Again, youreyedoc.com or 314-966-5000. Tell them that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Schedule your appointment now with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Go to youreyedoc.com or call 314-966-5000. Yeah, I guess the point that it's almost been, I don't want to say a non-story, but it's moved along relatively without controversy to this point is a good sign. Like, I thought the same thing, apples and oranges, but when we got towards the end of spring training, then it felt like the end of a normal spring training. Like, things got a little repetitive. We were ready for the regular season. I took that as a good sign.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, this is not, you know, this does not feel like a fraught situation the way that last year did, where, you know, any outbreak seemed like it had the potential to push all of Major League Baseball season to the brink.
Jay Jaffe is with us as we talk a little baseball. How about from a baseball perspective, Jay? Obviously, as we are a couple of weeks in, I guess the big story right now is the return or potential return early of Tatis Jr. in San Diego and what could be in store for his shoulder. Just from a baseball perspective, what has caught your attention and who do you find yourself watching the most of to this point, if there is a team or two that stand out?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm here. I'm based in Brooklyn, so I do kind of default to checking in on the Yankees and Mets during prime time. You know, when parenting allows me to do so, and I check out the Dodgers on the West Coast more often than not. I grew up a Dodgers fan and still have family that pulls for them, and you know, they're kind of the default team in my mind. But I've been checking a lot on the Angels because man, Shohei Ohtani is right now the best show, just about the best show there is in baseball. Although, you know, we need to see him pitch again. Ronald Acuna Jr. Is fantastic right now, and yet another reason to switch over to Braves games to watch whatever he's doing. Corbin Burnes of the Brewers has just been unreal through his three starts. You know, he's becoming appointment TV too. So those are some here. Let me pull up the standings to remind myself if there's anybody else I'm keeping an eye on.
It is just so amazing, Jay, just the young talent and just the level of talent and superstar talent in Major League Baseball right now. And I guess that it's a little bit frustrating in that vein, a lot of the issues that folks are having with blackouts and with watching it. And I was thinking about that as I read your piece in Fangraphs about the Atlantic League some of the implementation of some of the new rules. It's like, even with a lot of these stars, I know there are folks in and around St. Louis with YouTube TV, for instance, that can't watch the Cardinal games. And, you know, with all of this talent on display, somehow Major League Baseball still managing to stub its toe and getting the product out to people who want the product and are trying to pay for the product.
Oh, it's an ongoing frustration. And really, I think it's an embarrassment that it happens. I mean, it's, you know, it's all about baseball's, you know, television deals. I mean, that's where so much of the revenue comes from. And, you know, it's about protecting those television rights and making it very difficult, if not impossible, for people to see, you know, if they're in these wide swaths that are, you know, in the region of a team, you know, they're unable to see the game in any other way unless they have, you know, one of those regional sports networks or whatever. But it's ridiculous. You know, there are people in like Iowa for whom they're blacked out from six teams. I mean, pick a lane. You know, it's just, I think one of my pals in the industry kept track, and it was something like 37% of all major league games, 3 out of 8 on any given night, were unavailable to him. And that does nothing for the game.
Yeah, it's frustrating, especially in the midst of what is a really, really great product. You did, as I mentioned, wrote about the Atlantic League and some of the implementation, what they're doing with the mound. Well, what's your take on using that league as kind of a testing ground, as kind of a lab, Jay? And what do you expect, if anything, to come out of the returns that baseball gets and will continue to get from what they're trying out there?
Yeah, it's interesting. They talked about moving the mound back by 2 feet 2 years ago, but they scrapped that experiment because of, you know, a vocal outcry among pitchers in that league. You know, since then things have changed a bit. The minor leagues have contracted by about 25%. Very few people got to play minor league baseball last year in these kind of pop-up indie leagues, which were a story unto themselves, actually. But the Atlantic League was non-functional last year. Now this year they're testing this pitching distance, and you know, I think for a lot of these guys, it's just about the, you know, the last stop on the line, you know, in Indy League baseball. I mean, there are lower Indy leagues. This is the top paying Indy League, you know, and these pitchers are going to have to try this in the second half of the season. Now, I think it's a reasonable attempt to try to counteract the effects of ever increasing pitch velocities and ever increasing strikeout rates, two trends that have defined baseball over the past decade and a half, and have, yeah, I think really kind of helped to push the game into sort of an aesthetic cul-de-sac, you know, where it's just an all or nothing game with strikeouts and home runs and a dearth of action and kind of a waste of all this athleticism in these young players. So, you know, there's been talk about changing the strike zone, tweaking the ball, you know, and the mound though has been sacrosanct until now, the mound distance. I mean, it's been in place since 1893. I think it's a reasonable response. I'm worried about injury rates. I'm worried about the difficulty of pitchers, adapting to a new distance after honing, their craft at 60 foot 6 inches, since high school. I don't know that we have great proof that contact rates will rise, or you know, whether that we'll just see batters trying to tee off on 91 mile an hour fastballs instead of 93 mile an hour fastballs, you know, and knock those over the fence. You know, I think the other concern is that the difficulty in you know, in controlling those pitches could lead to more walks and really counteract the drop in strikeouts. So it's worth experimenting. The Atlantic League is a decent place to do it. You have to be able to extrapolate the results to major league level. You know, we're seeing other rules tried out in the affiliated minor leagues. This is a good time to do it with a collective bargaining agreement up for renewal this winter.
Yeah, you can read the piece at fangraphs.com. Do you think, Jay, there will be, and I guess it's, you know, still fairly glaring that there hasn't been any type of decision made on a universal DH, and teams were trying to build their rosters, and as free agents were, you know, weighing what kind of money they'd leave on the table if they signed Nelson Cruz, for instance, and then a universal DH was implemented. But what do you think will come out of, you know, the adjustments that have been made at the big league level last year and and into this year because of the pandemic shortened schedule and because of other concerns, do you think there will be discussion that leads to more implementation or considering more options? Do you think it could just lead to a wider fork in the road once we get to those CBA discussions or a standoff this offseason?
I think we'll get the universal DH back. It seems to be something that both sides actually want, but Major League Baseball tried to extract the concession of expanded playoffs out of the players in exchange for doing it, which is a very unequal exchange in terms of the money involved, unless the players are, you know, unless baseball is going to give the players an unprecedented cut of the action with the extra playoffs. You know, I know the Atlantic League is tinkering with this, what's called the double hook rule, in which you'd remove the starting pitch, you would remove the DH when you remove the starting pitcher. I think there's a lot of unintended consequences that come with that, and that it won't fly any further than that league. But I do think we'll just get a straight DH next year. As to the other rules changes, like the 7-inning games for doubleheaders and the extra innings rule, I suspect we probably won't get those. I think some of the players like them, a greater percentage of players like them than expected. And it's possible that if players wanted to try to, you know, get more off days, that they could agree to the doubleheader rule, you know, to give themselves, you know, let's say a handful of extra off days a year. But I think that those kinds of things are probably unlikely to slow down the negotiations. I mean, it's, you know, minimum salary, arbitration rules, free agent rules. Those are going to be the things that these two sides cross swords over. And it's going to be a bloody battle just in that. I mean, these other things are relatively peripheral, you know, you know, there's genuine concern within the industry about a work stoppage.
Yeah, how much do you think it'll loom or increasingly loom over this season and into the postseason, perhaps?
Well, I think it's more going to be a topic for the offseason. I suspect, you know, we'll hear some back and forth during the season. If Rob Manfred and Tony Clark learned anything from last year, it's not to negotiate in public. I don't think
via Twitter.
Yeah, well, just via the media. I don't think they've actually learned that. But I think they'll do better, in part because it's simply a less fraught time than it was last summer when everything seemed to be, you know, up in the air and on the brink, and there was genuine fear that we wouldn't get a season at all. We'll see, though. Cooler heads need to prevail. And we'll see if they do.
Well, you can read Jay Jaffe at Fangraphs, including the piece on some of the changes in the Atlantic League and what some of the consequences could be of what's being implemented. Jay, always enjoy the chats, man. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon. Appreciate it.
All right, sounds great, Chris. Thanks.
Big thanks to Jay Jaffe, and a big thanks to the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates, Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjit Malhotra, Dr. Robert Prasadi, and Dr. Andrew Royer. Schedule your appointment now. That's going to do it for another week on the Chris Raby Show, broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. We'll talk to you Monday. Until then, be nice to each other, and as always, peace!